turn tonight to Exodus chapter 19. We are continuing our series on the foundations, and I hope you've been reading through your foundations booklets. And if you hadn't got a booklet yet, I mentioned that this morning in the welcome. We still have a few available out at the Welcome Center, and we'll try to have somebody out at the Welcome Center tonight hanging around a little bit. I think they're actually in a box. On Sunday night, we're not as formal as we are on Sunday morning, you know. So if you go around there and get a box and take one out, you can just turn in $10 at your convenience in the envelope and put it in the connections box and just write Foundations book. So we'll trust you on that. No stealing those books, okay? All right. That's one of the Ten Commandments, by the way. Thou shalt not steal. And that's getting real close to where we're preaching from tonight. And so we'll just kind of keep everybody together on all that. I've so enjoyed this series. Tonight's message is one of those messages that's just huge in the principles of application in our lives. I think the last song that Kenan chose for us tonight, just Word of God Speak, really did the message well. The intent, I've simply entitled this tonight, When God Speaks. And I think the song set the tone for exactly where my heart is in studying this and preparing, and even in my study this week. And I know that as one of your pastors, it's a wonderful thing to be able to share with you some reflections that God has revealed to us through time of studying His Word. Each time as we seek to stand and preach the gospel and teach you from God's Word, it's truly a high calling, but it's very overwhelming at times, and it's very humbling at times when we get real close and we understand how serious this really is and how vitally important this really is. We live in a noisy, noisy world today. There's so much noise all around us. We really have to fight for that time that sometimes we refer to as a quiet time, a quiet place. And God Himself invites us into this knowledge of Him, Himself, as He lays it out when He would tell us verses like, "Be still and know that I am God." And so God's Word is the revelation, and so in some sense, there's an element of when God speaks that all of the entirety of God's Word is God speaking. And God has spoken, and God continues to lead us and speak to our hearts. It's just imperative tonight that we have our hearts in tune with Him, and we, like the song just conveyed, the lyrics of the song, we get quiet enough to really, truly hear what God says when He speaks. And so we're going to be sharing some highlights tonight from this passage of Scripture in chapter 19. And 19 sets the tone. It's like a bookend, 19 and 24 of Exodus, and we won't get that far through chapter 24. Your reading took you beyond that this week. We're going to see that Moses at the beginning of next week is going to come back down off the mountain, and then he incurs the first major act of disobedience when the children of Israel have erected the golden calf. And so, but in this week's reading, we see that God reveals Himself in this covenant in chapters 20, 21, 22, and 23, the covenant that He is establishing with His people. But before He gives them the covenant, in chapter 20, God gives them some clear guidelines in chapter 19, which is where we'll be tonight. See, God is the one who sets the terms of our relationship with Him. And that's very important for us to understand that. We don't just flippantly run into God's presence any old way, any old time we want to. Now, sometimes we do that in acts of desperation, and we wonder, God, where are you? But God is a God who is a holy God, as we've proclaimed tonight in song also, and we've been reminded, as we'll see even in this passage, as His holy is represented oftentimes through this passage of Scripture, but we need to learn to highly esteem God and see Him for who He is. And so this is where He brings the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, that mountain that's called the Mountain of God. So open up your word and read along as I'll read verses 1 through 9, and then I'll skip down to verse 16 for our opening text. And on the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they set out from Rephidim, and they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord God called him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." And Moses came, and he called the elders of the people, and he set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, and the people, that the people may hear my voice when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." Now skip down to verse 16. "And on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp, they trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a cline, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai on top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of Scripture tonight. We pray for preaching grace, Lord. We pray you'd remove anything from our minds and our hearts that would distract us from hearing your word tonight. Lord, help us to realize tonight how precious it is when you speak to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we see this passage laid out before us, we're told that Ben preached a message I had preached a couple of weeks ago back in Exodus 3, where God had met with Moses at the burning bush, and we saw his calling, and we saw his commissioning there. And so we saw how God had told Moses, and he had invited Moses in to this relationship with him, and he said, "I have a plan for you, I have a purpose for you." And that's the model for which God always speaks to us and invites us into this relationship with himself. And he's revealing that even in this passage tonight, and we will be reminded of that. And sometimes we say, "Well, God doesn't speak to me that way, and I have difficulty hearing God." But sometimes I think that it's from our perspective that we're too noisy, we're too distracted, we're too busy, and all of the above to sometimes really hear God as he wants to speak to us, as he wants to encourage us and communicate to us. So we see that they had begun their wilderness wandering years. We know that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They had come to this point, and they were going to have setbacks along the way. They were going to disobey God just as we do. But God was always there to draw them back in and to reestablish their goings and to lift them up, and his grace and his mercy and his love toward them, because they were his covenant people, remained steady and steadfast through the wandering years. And so we see this and we understand. Now you say, "Well, you know, as we look at this and we understand that the children of Israel had left Egypt, and as one writer has observed, it only took God one night to get them out of Egypt. But it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of them. And so we're seeing the process of the preparation of the covenant being established as God was going to set himself up as the holy and righteous God that he is. And he was inviting them into this relationship with him. Now, you'll remember that a promise has been fulfilled here as we, and you may have, I hope you've been keeping up with the readings, and if you hadn't, I'll highlight a few things, and hopefully you'll get convicted, and you'll go home, and you'll read all your foundation book tonight. And so we will have accomplished a great thing if this message encourages you to be faithful to your devotional reading and your time with God, because that is one of the goals of what we're doing here with this Sunday night series. And so it says that they came out, and on the third new moon, the research I could see that indicates this, the third new moon would have been a period of 7 or 8 weeks that they had left from God's, the Passover had occurred, they had crossed the Red Sea, and so they were on the first stage of their wilderness journey here. And so they came to this mountain some 7, almost 2 months after they had begun the journey. And Ben highlighted some of the elements of God's presence being with them through this journey. And so we see that as they were setting up there in the wilderness, and they had set out and they encamped in the wilderness, verse 2 tells us, it says that when they came there, it says they encamped before the mountain. Now, the mountain is very significant, and if you'll turn back in your Bibles in Exodus chapter 3, and I'll just highlight a real quick passage for you just in transition here this evening. In Exodus chapter 3, when God was calling Moses at the burning bush, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12, I see it very interesting because the fulfillment of a promise is occurring. As God tells Moses in verse 12, he said, "But I will be with you, and this will be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve me on this mountain." And here we have chapter 19, verse 3. "And there they are before the mountain, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying." And so we see that God instigates his involvement with the children of Israel, and he initiates this. And God is the one who always makes the first move in his relationship with you and me. Oftentimes we don't detect that moving of God. God will come to us in his still small voice, and he will speak to us. He will urge us. He will impress upon our hearts and our spirits as children of God to separate ourselves unto him, even as we will see in this passage tonight. And so the first thing I want us to notice as we see in preparation of God speaking, God always offers this invitation. And tonight he was offering this invitation to the nation of Israel through his servant Moses. Moses was the leader that he had chosen and he had ordained, and he spoke to Moses, and Moses knew what it was like to have an experience with God, to have an encounter with God. And so something drew Moses. It was God drawing Moses up on the mountain. We're not told that God instructed Moses at this initial point of connection or reconnection to go up on the mountain, but God met Moses on that very mountain in a fulfillment to a promise he had made for him on his original call. God always keeps his promises. And God told Moses, "I will meet you here on this mountain when you come out of the nation, when you come out of the nation of Egypt, when you obey me and follow me, you will be able to come back to me, to meet with me, to convene with me, to grow from me." And so this invitation is extended here to Moses. And so in the invitation, we see that God, he initiates this, and he reminds Moses, and he reminds us tonight of his own faithfulness as he tells Moses. He said, "I want you to go, and I want you to tell the people of Israel." He says, "You yourselves have seen, remind them what I've done, what I've just recently done with you to bring you to this point in your life. Remind them that they remember what I did to the Egyptians." Now, God had judged the Egyptians harshly with the plagues. And we've read through the plagues and we've seen the plagues. And the ultimate plague was the plague of the Passover, when the firstborn child would be dead. And as they would leave, God would literally give the nation of Israel the favor of the people of Egypt, and they would give them their wealth. They would give them their gold, their jewelry, their clothing, their possessions, and they would be able to take these things out as if they had conquered them in a war. And they asked their neighbors, and God had given the nation of Egypt a heart to do this and to give these goods to the people. And that will come back up perhaps even in next week's reading, as we'll look at that and we'll see that and we'll understand. But God had a fresh word for them at this stage in their life. And I like this, and I like to understand how God is always in the business of reminding us and inviting us into this relationship with Himself. Because as I've said before in some of my messages, light obeyed increases light. The more you follow God and the closer you get to God, the more God reveals of Himself to you. See, God says that Jesus Himself is the light of the world, and He tells us that He wants us to walk in the light. Walk in the awareness of His presence, and let Him be the one who guides us through the difficulties of life, through the different phases and stages of our life. And they were just beginning to learn how to walk with God. And Moses was up there on the mountain meeting with God, and this is the very first message that God would give to Moses to go share. He said, "Don't let them forget what I did to the Egyptians." And then he reads on in verse 4, and he says, "And how I bore you on eagle's wings, and how I brought you to myself." Such a simple verse, but yet so profound. Don't forget what I did with the Egyptians there as you see this. So basically what he's saying to them there, don't forget how I brought you out, how I bore you up, and how I drew you to myself. What a profound word as God invites us into a relationship with Himself. That God would reveal Himself in such a way and remind each of us tonight how that God has brought us out from our past life of slavery and sin through the salvation of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I've brought you out. You no longer have to live in Egypt anymore. Now I've given you your freedom through my Son, Jesus Christ. And Moses and all the things that are given to us in the Old Testament, especially in the law and the covenant, they will represent the one who will come one day and give us the full fulfillment of the covenant, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and became our great high priest, who went to Calvary's cross for us, and He ever lives to bear intercession for us on our behalf. And so we see how Moses is this type to and bring the children of Israel back to a place of reminder to know what God is doing in their life and just how God is working in their life. You know, the analogy of eagle's wings is kind of interesting, because Moses would later, over in the book of Deuteronomy, and in his Moses' song toward the end of his life, he would go back and he would use this same imagery of the eagle's wing, how the mother eagle will stir up her nest so that her little eaglets will get uncomfortable, and she will even force them out of the nest. And then as they're flopping their wings and trying to gain enough strength to learn how to fly, she will swoop under them, and the little eaglet will land on them, and the mother will bring them back safely to the nest, only to do it again and again and again, until one day that little eaglet just takes off and soars and never comes back to the nest. And God is using this picture and this analogy on how He constantly bears us up, how He interrupts our lives at times and places and stages of our life. He interrupted the lives of the children of Israel, and they would complain about that. Oftentimes, they would hold it over Moses' head, and they would say to Moses, "Moses, why did you bring us out here in this wilderness to die?" They've already started their complaining even in these short few weeks up to Mount Sinai. Moses had already prayed and God had provided the manna, the bread from heaven. Moses had already given water from the rock as they complained about, "We're dying of thirst, we're dying of hunger. Why are you doing this to us? Why are you doing this?" And all God is doing is just stirring up the nest and just forcing them out so He can swoop under them and bear them up and bring them out. Why? So he can bring them in. And that's what he's reminding us. And in your life and in my life, when we face difficult situations and we resist God and we question God and we wonder, God, why am I going through this difficulty? Every event that occurs in our life is God ordained, when God allows even bad things to come into our lives. The book of James, Brother Don's just talking about trials and tribulations and things that come in our life. Now, God will not tempt us, and James makes the distinction of that, but God definitely allows trials and difficulties to come in our life. Why? Because he's stirring us up and leading us and pushing us on beyond ourselves where we would not normally go. And we need to be reminded of that, God says. Right here initially, as God is fixing to establish this covenant with the nation of Israel, and he's fixing to remind them of the God that he truly is, because they know a little about God, but they're just now getting ready to really experience God. And their lives will never be the same after this encounter that we're looking at here tonight, and we're seeing this, and we understand. So he said, I bore you on eagle's wings. And I did that, and don't miss the last part of verse 4. It should jump off of the pages at us. So I could bring you to myself. God, I don't like where I'm at. But God allows me to be where I'm at so he can bring me to himself. I don't like what I'm experiencing, God. I don't like what I'm going through. But see, it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about God. It's about God revealing himself to us. And you say, well, I want it this way. And God says, that's not the way it is. Because you don't establish the relationship. God does. God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now the children of Jacob, and now later Moses, as we've been introduced to this great servant of God, who God tells us in his word was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Moses was questioned. He was ridiculed. God was trying to establish his servant leader, Moses. And so God's about to do something so significant that they'll never forget about it. And he's revealing it to his servant, Moses, so that Moses can take the lead and begin leading the people of Israel in the direction that God wants them to do. I'm drawing you to myself. Now this is the message in verse 5 that's kind of the heart of this great wonderful invitation, where God is confirming in their lives and preparing them for what's about to occur. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples of the earth. Among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you will be a kingdom of priests. It will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now these are the words that you are to speak to the people of Israel. You know, I did a little research this week as I was looking at this. And it sounds real easy to climb up a mountain. I don't know how many of you have ever climbed up Pinnacle. Pinnacle doesn't scratch the surface of what Mount Sinai's height is. 7,000 to 8,000 feet. It's a very high mountain. Here in chapter 19, we're already introduced to three times that Moses went up and came down, went up and came down, went up and came down. No wonder he lived such a long time. He must have had a great heart. By the time you get through the book of Exodus, you're going to see about seven times Moses went up and he came down. He went up and he came down. And we just read that so haphazardly. But I want you to see the commitment from this man of God who had caught a vision from God, that he wasn't about to let anybody deter him or tell him that what he was experiencing wasn't real. That's just a little side note that was real interesting to me even as I share that, because God said, if you will hear my voice. So this invitation to join with God And I remember the study I was talking, I think, to my family. Me and Teresa were visiting about this recently that Henry Blackaby did years ago, Experiencing God. That has really stayed near to me through the years. It's just a good little basic Bible study that helps us understand and know what God's will is and how to recognize God working in and around our lives. And I would recommend any of you to look into that. But Henry Blackaby makes the statement that always intrigues me. When God gives us a revelation, we need to always understand that that is His invitation for us to join Him. That's mind-boggling when you think about what we're doing as a church, and every morning we're opening our Bibles and God has given us a revelation. And so some of you say, well, I just really hadn't been sensing God. Well, maybe you hadn't been meeting with God. Maybe you're not going to climb up on a mountain the way Moses did, but what kind of effort would it take you to get up a little bit early and spend some time with God and know that God has spoken and know that God is still speaking? We say that so haphazardly and so quickly that sometimes it doesn't sink in. Do we realize what we're saying? That our God is a God who loves us so much that He reveals Himself to us through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, through prayer, through circumstances, and through wise biblical counsel of other friends and caring people that God brings into our life. Through wise biblical counsel. You have to be careful who those counselors are, but God can speak to you through the heart of a friend who's walking with God. But primarily, He speaks to us through His Word. And so God is inviting us by revealing this to Moses, to reveal to the people. Now, God's about to do something very unique with them, and we'll get to that here in just a second. But as He says, I want you to tell the people that if indeed they will obey my voice and keep my covenant. Now there's that word. The biggest little word in the English vocabulary, if. If you will obey my voice and keep my covenant. It's conditional. It's conditional. He says, if you will do this, then He says to them, He says, you shall be my treasured possession throughout all the peoples of the earth. And then He reminds them, just in a side note, don't forget, by the way, all the earth is mine. All the people groups of the world are mine. But you're the people group I have chosen. I've chosen you to come and partake and come to me, come to myself, as we said in verse 4, and have a relationship with me and know me and love me, and I will proclaim you. And He says, you will be my treasured possession. I can't even fully grasp what that means to be God's treasured possession. Folks, that gives us value and that gives us vision. To know that God loves us and cares about us. Over in the New Testament, as He will go on and He will expound on this, even in verse 6, and He will say, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests, and you will even be a holy nation. You're a nation that I've set apart. Well, y'all remember the passage. Hopefully most of you do. If you don't, I'll refresh you with it. In 1 Peter, if you'll turn there real quick, and it seems like God's servant Peter was drawing from the very imagery of this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, when he was talking to God in the New Testament, talking to the people of God about how that we today are still God's covenant people. And so he would say in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but you are God's chosen race, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light. So if you will obey me, then I've got something real special for you. You're going to be my people. And so this was the condition that God challenged the children of Israel, and God's challenging us tonight to know that this relationship, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility. Yes, it has privileges, but with the privileges always come responsibilities on our part as we fulfill our part of this covenant relationship with God. And so God is drawing us to Himself, and He's saying, you are my treasured people. And He says here, you will be, He even says, a kingdom of priests. And He says it over there in 1 Peter chapter 2 that I just read for you also. Now, what does a priest do? Well, a priest, we would come to find out, as the tabernacle would be erected and they would begin to represent the people, they would go in and they would offer up prayers on behalf of the people. Tonight, you're God's priesthood. You're the royal priest, and that's what the book of Hebrews tells us. And God tells us you can offer up prayers day and night on behalf of the people, on behalf of yourself, on behalf of the nation. What a privilege it is to be one of God's chosen people. And yet we don't even take advantage of praying the way God urges us to pray as His priest. A priest not only offers up prayers, but a priest also bears witness to the greatness and the glory and the reality of who God is. And so as His priest and as a holy nation that He calls us to be, we also can offer up a wonderful witness day in and day out, proclaiming that our God is a God who calls us and He invites us into this relationship with Himself. And so we see how wonderful this is as He continues to present it. Now, verse 7 and 8, very quickly, Moses went back down out of the mountain, and he shared with the people what God had told him and He had commanded. And it says in verse 8, all the people answered together, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses, there he goes again, number 2, he goes back up the mountain and reports the words to the people, of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, then he reveals to him how this is all going to go down in verse 9. As he says, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever. And there's a lot of significance in that verse. First of all, God is preparing this people for this great revelation when He's fixing to speak to them. And it's going to be like nothing they've ever heard before, because Moses was their representative, and he was the one that God was revealing His will to, and he was leading the people. And sometimes God will use that in those situations. But God wanted to establish Himself as a first priority in their lives here at the beginning of this journey, as He's beginning to unveil their covenant to them. And so He wanted to establish Himself in all of His majesty, splendor, and glory so they would really grasp this. And so as we see this, not only must we have this great willingness in our heart to obey God, and that must be our response to God when we hear God, and we must be willing to obey Him just like they responded in verse 7 and 8 and said, God, we're ready. And in verse 9, He's telling them, I'm fixing to come and I'm going to meet with you and I'm going to speak with you. You know, I was thinking this week, and JC's up here in the sound booth, and I'm always thankful for to have good technology, but God's fixing to give the nation of Israel the greatest sound and audio and light show they've ever seen in their life, and they're fixing to get it like they've never seen it before. And God said, I'm fixing to come, and I'm going to speak with you. And Moses understood the significance of this, but it took the children of Israel a while to grasp it. And I pray tonight in the transition, even these many years later, as we're sitting here and recounting this, as we're reading about their experiences, as we're meditating upon the Word of God, that when God speaks to us, it ought to be something that just rocks our very world. And so God said to Moses, He said, I'm about to come, and that the people may hear when I speak to you. And then He also said, Moses, by the way, when I do this, the people will really know that you're my man. He didn't say it that way. I'm paraphrasing. What God actually said is, they may believe you, Moses, forever. They're going to know that I'm real, Moses, and that I'm your God, and that you're my man, because they're fixing to hear what you have been privileged to hear. Sometimes as we walk with God and we experience in God, God will reveal things to us, and it's really too good to even really share sometimes with other people. I mean, we want to share it, but sometimes people just aren't ready to hear what we have in our hearts. I've literally had opportunities to be conversing with people, and maybe I've just come out of a good time of study or a quiet time, a devotional time, and you know what I'm talking about. You've sensed this. And God has revealed himself to you, and you start trying to share that with someone else, and they're no way near on the same page as you are. And they're wanting to answer the phone or respond to an email or, you know, check out Facebook or whatever it is that distracts us. And so that's the reason times like this are so precious and near, as we take aside the time to come and we hear God and we're reminded of what God's perimeters are as he's establishing the relationship between himself and us, so we can know him and we can experience him and we can walk with him. And so God is saying, Moses, this is going to be special. I'm fixing to come and I'm going to speak to the people, and then they're going to know and they're going to believe in you forever. And what a way of confirmation and affirmation. When God speaks to his servants and other people get a sense that this person has been with God. You know, it reminds them, there's somebody I can trust. I wonder, in our own lives, do we have that reputation among our friends and our family? Do we really have that relationship to where you get so excited about the things of God that other people know that man, that lady, that person is walking with God? I've told you other times from other passages of Scripture that God has revealed a principle that has stuck with me. That God truly is a God who does business with those who mean business. It's just so unfortunate that so many of us settle for far less than God's best for our lives, because we're just too busy. And then he moves from the invitation to what I'm going to call, and I'll hurry through this as I end. This is just bigger than what I'm able to even share with you tonight. He moves with what I'm going to call the moment of consecration, where he tells Moses, and he tells him in verses 10 all the way through verse 15, and he says it twice. He says in verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. He said, on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. I'm fixing to rock their world. I'm fixing to give them the greatest expression I've ever revealed myself to mankind. And it's going to forever change their attitude. And so God says, before I do that, you go down and you prepare the people. It's going to take them 3 days to really prepare for this meeting with God. And I don't even really know, as I was studying that this week, what all the implications are. He told them that they're to cleanse their clothing. And I know that that symbolically represents, even in the New Testament era, that we have to have a cleansed heart. The external represents the internal. And the nation of Israel, they didn't take showers every day. They were in the middle of the wilderness. Their clothes got dirty. They needed to show reverence and respect for God. And so God let that be one of the signs of this consecration, that he was consecrating them and sanctifying them and setting them apart. And they were setting themselves apart. And they were ready to do business with God. He said, you can't just haphazardly come into my presence, because I'm God and I'm not like anyone else that you will ever meet. And he said, so go and consecrate yourselves. Clean your clothes. He even went so far as he even said, set a perimeter. Let there be a distance.
He said, take care not to go up on the mountain or touch the mountain in verse 12. He says, set limits for the people around it, saying, don't come up on this mountain when I come down to meet with you and speak to you. Don't you dare touch this mountain. There has to be distance between you and me. And so God is establishing His holiness and His character in front of them. Take care not to go up on the mountain or even to touch the edge of it. Whoever touches this mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or he shall be shot. Whether it's beast or man, they shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain, he says. And so Moses went down from the mountain to the people, and he consecrated the people. And they washed their garments, and he said, be ready for the third day. And then he even said, I want you to abstain from sexual relations. Do not even go near to a woman. So he was really establishing the perimeters of the spiritual consecration of their lives. And this just speaks volumes to me on how we need to set ourselves apart to God. God, even in the New Testament, tells us many things, like for days of fasting and days of prayer and days of earnest seeking after God, that we should set ourselves apart from God. But there again, we've become so casual. We've become so calloused. We think of God as our big buddy or grandfather or whatever term we'll let the modern generation. And so they came and they prepared themselves. And then finally tonight, from this glorious invitation to the set-aside consecration, we see the great revelation where God finally fulfills what He's telling them. He's been telling them. And guys, when God shows up, we need preparation. A lot of times it's just overwhelming. And so God's trying to prepare them. He's prepared us. He's told us throughout Scripture. He tells us through many ways. And Moses brought the people in verse 17 out of the camp to meet God. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. And the smoke went up like the smoke, it says. And the whole mountain trembled greatly. The mountain was trembling. And the sound of the trumpet, it was louder and louder. And Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called to Moses up on top of the mountain, called Moses to the top of the mountain. This would be number three. And Moses went up. And the first message he gave him, by the way, in verse 21, as he went up before he spoke, he said, Moses, go back down again and consecrate the people. And Moses kind of argued with him, Lord, I've already told them not to come near. And then he says again to remind them, you better set limits on this mountain and consecrate it in verse 23. And the Lord said, go down and come back and bring Aaron with you. But do not let the priest and the people break through and come to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and he told them. And so we see this wonderful revelation. It was involved with the trembling of the mountain, the smoke, the fire, and all the lure and the grandeur that God would reveal Himself. And there's much more here than we even have time to realize. But then it says in Exodus 20 in verse 1, and God spoke all these words. And He started giving them what we know today as the Ten Commandments, which would be the very first introduction to the covenant that He was establishing with His people. How oftentimes do we read the Ten Commandments and we just think, oh, those are just good Ten Commandments, and look at all that went into even preparing them to receive the Word from God in Exodus chapter 19 when God speaks. Later, we would be told that the nation would just tremble at the reality of what they had experienced. In fact, if you got chapter 20 open, in verse 18 of chapter 20, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound and the trumpet and the mountain spoken, the people were afraid and they trembled. And they stood far off and they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us lest we die.
God had made his point. God had set the priority in their life. I am God, and when I speak, you really need to listen. You really need to hear when God speaks. Cannon, come and lead us in a song of invitation tonight. As we conclude this thought and just offer a short time of prayer and response, if God is speaking to your heart, working in your life, I pray you'll take that serious. I pray some of the simple thoughts that we shared with you tonight, life principles, of just understanding when God reveals himself to you through the Word or through his Spirit or through prayer, that we should not take that casually. We should understand how very special that really is. And we should seek to have this encounter with God the way God loves to have this relationship as he instigates it on his part and draws us into this relationship with himself. And may we tonight be a people that's more prepared to hear God speak than when we came, because we've heard him speak to us tonight through his Word. Let's stand.
Just as I